And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the southeastern U.S. of A. I'm talking about Huntsville over to Chattanooga, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, we're going to go to this segment we like to do on Friday. So in case you did not know, JP is like the man on sports, has his own sports show called Off the Bench on Saturday mornings on the Ump out of Huntsville. 2 hours, 9 to 11, is that right?
9 to 11, yes. And I saw John Paul texting and asking if we're doing a show tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow will be a live show. We weren't able to do one last week, but National Championship Week, we got to do a live show.
Biggest
show of the year.
So I guess by the saying that, you're premiering things that might be in your discourse here in just a moment.
Yes.
All right, well, let's do this. So JP on Sports is a segment we like to do on Fridays. And we do it in two waves. The first one comes through as we call it the three and out. He takes the top three stories he thinks are out there in his mind in sports and lays them out there for us. And then we come back from a break and he does the 2 minute warning. Anything in the world of sports, 2 minutes at a time with a buzzer that sounds if he goes over 2 minutes. And you got a sound effect. So hit it, man. JP on sports. All right, so all right, let's do it. Three and out. What's number one? What you got?
Well, I just mentioned it. It's National Championship Week.
Yeah,
National Championship on inaugural day. It's going to be quite the day.
Is this all part of your birthday weekend?
It is. It's a bunch of great gifts I get on my birthday weekend. But yeah, National Championship between Ohio State and Notre Dame. You know, I predicted Ohio State would make the national championship, and, you know, now that they're going up against Notre Dame, I'm a bit split because I really want Notre Dame to win. I like Marcus Freeman. I like Notre Dame. Notre Dame is beyond due to get a national championship. It's been a long time. But Ohio State, just on paper, is playing the best of anybody in the nation. They got the best roster in the nation, and they're finally playing like it in the playoffs. They just beat Texas and shut them out, like, really, really well.
Hard.
You know, like, It was kind of close at halftime, but then second half, Ohio State just pulled away with it. So, my gut says Ohio State in this one. But like I said, Notre Dame has been playing really well. Riley Leonard has been playing very well. Marcus Freeman has a lot of momentum behind this Notre Dame team. They beat a really good Penn State team and were able to shut them out. So, I don't know. I think it'll be closer than the rest of Ohio State's games. But right now, I'm still thinking Ohio State's going to edge this one out. And Ryan Day is going to save his job after not being able to beat Michigan for 4 years and is able to come back and not have to hide around Columbus, Ohio. Anymore.
I mean, guys, I know the trustees have their say, too. But you can't go to the national championship and then be told you're not a good coach.
Yeah, exactly. No, I Ohio State would have nobody else to replace him with. So, I think his job is saved right now. But I think this will save the season for them after, the disappointing loss to Michigan. So I think they need a national championship to consider the season somewhat of a success.
What's their record? Was Michigan the spoiler? Were they undefeated otherwise?
No, they were 10-2. They lost to Oregon early, week five. But that loss to Michigan bumped them out of the Big Ten championship game. But yeah, 4 years in a row losing to Michigan. They got to get a national championship to make it right, I think. So they have that to play for. Ohio State has a bunch of seniors who would like to get a national championship before they dip out. So I don't know. I want Notre Dame to win, but like I said, Ohio State's just playing so good right now.
What time's the game on Monday?
It's a night game. I think it's 7 o'clock, 6 or 7.
Okay, so you won't be too distracted in the studio on Monday.
No, I should not be. No, I hope they're not playing the national championship at 2 o'clock. I doubt that. So, but, yeah, we'll see if Ohio State can keep the momentum going and keep playing like they have been playing. This is their best competition yet in Notre Dame, though, I would say. Even though Oregon was the best team, they were kind of flat. They had a bye game. Notre Dame's had time to play. And
Where are they playing?
They're playing in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Wow, weather coming through, too.
I know. It's in a dome, though. So
it's a dome.
There's that. But, yeah, we'll see. If Notre Dame can find a way to stop Ohio State's offense, then that's one thing. I just don't see that happening.
All right. There's number one, which I kind of figured was going to be number one.
Yeah.
And it rightfully is number one.
Yes.
All right, what's number two?
Well, it's a big weekend in college basketball as well with SEC play. We got a lot of big ranked matchups. I guess I'll recap some of the games this week, though, before we do that. Alabama coming off a loss to Ole Miss. Auburn coming off a win against Mississippi State. And also, since we're in Chattanooga now, I might as well talk about Tennessee basketball. They came off with a win of against Georgia. It was a solid win for them. They've rebounded after that ugly loss to Florida that took them down. They're still the sixth ranked team in the country, though. You know, Alabama's game earlier this week, that was probably the worst game they played all year. They couldn't rebound offensively. They were really flat for whatever reason, and Nate Oates did not mince words in his post-game press conference about, you know, players not showing up ready to play. So we'll see if Alabama can turn that around. The SEC schedule is going to be hard for everybody, and if you have an off game, you're just going to lose. So Alabama can't afford to have many off games if they want to, you know, win the SEC. But they're going to Kentucky, which Kentucky is a top 10 team ranked, although a favorable stat. I think they're 335th in the nation in causing turnovers. Kentucky is, which Alabama had 22 turnovers in their loss to Ole Miss. So Kentucky is not a great defensive team, so that plays into their favor. Auburn, still number one team in the country, going to Georgia.
Thank you very much.
That Bruce Pearl, you know, mentioned that this is only the fourth time ever that Auburn was number one going to Georgia. So this is a sort of a rivalry game for Auburn. Georgia's a good team, though, even though they just lost to Tennessee by 18. They're still the 23rd ranked team in the country, so Auburn's going to have their work cut out for them as well. So we'll see. Yeah, it's like I said, a lot of top-ranked SEC matchups this weekend. The SEC continues to be the best conference in college basketball.
Absolutely.
That stat, I think I mentioned it last week, the top 16 hardest schedules for teams in the nation is every team in the SEC. So that means every team in the SEC is the top 16 teams with the hardest schedules remaining. So
who has the hardest of the hardest? Who has the hardest schedule?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I know Alabama was like 4. Auburn was 5. Auburn's in the mix top 5 as well. But yeah, I think I could see the winner of the SEC having like 6 losses, 6 or 7 conference losses, which normally they have like 2 or 3. I could see that happening. So we'll see if there's any big upsets this weekend. But yeah, I'm excited to watch.
So how much of March Madness could actually be SEC?
Shoot, you can get all 16 teams.
I mean,
you could. Yeah, you could. Every team could get a bid in there. I could see South Carolina not getting in. They're not very good. Maybe one or two more, but I could see like 8 or 10 SEC teams getting in there, which is more than half.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
That would be crazy. It looks like SEC's taking over college basketball. It was the ACC. It looks like it's the SEC now, which is fun. Fun to watch.
Yeah. All right. That's number two. With a few minutes left here, what's number three?
I'm excited about this weekend.
Uh-oh.
It is. After 4 weeks of no UFC, we've got our first pay-per-view of the year this weekend, UFC 311.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's actually been a lot of drama today with this card. One of the fighters in the main event had to pull out of the fight. He injured himself last night while cutting weight. He apparently had a back injury, had to pull out of the fight. So the UFC replaced him with somebody who was fighting elsewhere on the same card and bumped them up to the main card. He'll be fighting for the championship belt. So this guy who's training for somebody else got a call and said, "Hey, you want to fight in the championship main event?" Sure. You know, so it's pretty crazy.
Rocky,
you know?
Rocky.
Yeah, that's the sport of MMA. Stuff changes on a dime like that. But also we got other great fights on this card. Jamal Hill is fighting Yuri Prohaska. They also have Marab. Listen how I say these names. Marab Walichvili will be fighting Umar Nurmagomedov for the.
Wow, I'm actually rather impressed. You rolled that right off.
I'm a fan. I know these guys. I think that before the main event got pulled out, the co-main and main event were all 4 fighters were fighting on the opposite side of the same mountain. It's like two of them from Georgia, one of them from Dagestan, Russia. It was pretty funny. They're both from the same region. But yeah, so now Renato Moicano, who is a Brazilian fighter, will be fighting Islam Makhachev for the championship belt in the main event. When he was supposed to be fighting somebody else and was training for somebody else for, 4 months now?
Something in the water over there in that region of the country, in Georgia.
Listen,
and
Dagestan, wow. Dagestan, Russia is putting out some of the best fighters in the world.
Is there a style of their own over there, or what?
It's wrestling. They are dominant wrestlers. And actually, it's technically called Sambo wrestling, which is if you want me to get in the weeds, it's like mix of – it's pretty much MMA without a lot of the striking. But yeah,
they do a lot of submission holds and stuff. Yeah.
They train from like they're 10 years old. And that's where Islam Makhachev, the number one pound for pound fighter, is from Dagestan himself. So yeah, it's first pay per view of the year. We went through a 4-week drought, and it's already starting off with some drama. Now, you know, I'm not pro gambling. However, I wish Alabama was a gambling state so I could put money on like that plus 1,000, that plus 1,000 for Moicano to win. you know, he's listen, that's gutsy of him to take that fight.
So when you pay-per-view these things, do you I mean, like, are you locked into like 6 hours of broadcast or do you have to pay-per-view per fight?
No, yeah, you buy the pay-per-view, you get the whole main card, which is five fights. There's a whole prelim, which is free to watch. You can watch that on ESPN, but then once it gets to the last five, you got to pay for it. But as you know, part of my birthday weekend, I'm hanging out with a bunch of my friends. We'll be watching the card this weekend, so I'm glad UFC's back on my birthday weekend as well.
Take the cake that Aunt Charlene brought you.
Yes, yeah, I'm sure they would greatly appreciate that. Yeah, it's a lot of great fights, too. I'm a bit bummed that Sarukian had to pull out. That was going to really good fight, but now it just adds more drama. Can the guy pull off the upset?
Okay, yeah. So those of y'all that are UFC fighter fans out there, you just got the lowdown on that. That's we gotta take a break, brother. That is JP on Sports Round One, the three and out, top three stories. You got the UFC card, you got the SEC basketball, and oh, by the way, the national championship in NCAA football is, yeah, Monday. Coming up next, we do the 2 minute warning. 2 minutes on anything sports. But he's got a buzzer he's got to beat. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're back on JP on Sports. And this is the section where we kind of change it around a little bit. He's got what we call it the two-minute warning. He can do anything he wants to on sports. He's got 2 minutes in segments, and we have a buzzer to sound if he goes too long. So, JP, I got the stopwatch. I'm ready. 2 minutes, go.
So we're on to the second round of the NFL playoffs. This upcoming weekend, we got the Texans playing the Chiefs, the Commanders playing the Lions, the Rams playing the Eagles, and then the Ravens and the Bills. The Ravens and the Bills is the one I'm most looking forward to right there. I think that those are two teams that could probably win the Super Bowl themselves. So that honestly is kind of like my AFC championship right now between the Ravens and the Bills with how Josh Allen's been playing and then flip side, how Lamar Jackson's been playing. And then the Ravens decide to get even better and get Derrick Henry, who is you can't guard Lamar because then they'll just hand it off to Henry and he'll, you know, stiff arm everybody down the field. I think I'm most excited for that one. And I think John from Huntsville actually asked me who I think I got in that game. I don't even know who I have in that game right now. I want to say Ravens, but gosh, man, the Bills have been playing so good all year. So I would tab that as my game of the week. But a sleeper one is Commanders Lions too, because, you know, a lot of people may think the Lions, with how they played all year, should walk past that one with ease. Jane Daniels has been on fire this year. He should win Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's already been floated in MVP conversations too as a rookie, which is insane. So we'll see. Maybe the Commanders can pull off an upset against the Lions there. I'm not ready to fully predict that yet, but that's one I would keep an eye on, see if the Commanders can pull that off. Even though the Buccaneers almost upset them round one, I think they'll come ready to play against the Lions there too. And I'll just add in there, I hope that the Texans beat the Chiefs because I can't stand to see Taylor Swift on another Super Bowl again. You know, I can't stand to watch that happen. I don't want them to three-peat either. So, you know, the Chiefs only had one loss all year, so we'll see if the Texans can pull it off. I don't think that's going to happen, though, unfortunately. But anything can happen, so we'll see. But, yeah, Ravens-Bills, I would say that's my game of the
week. I just feel like the Lions ought to have their day. They're so overdue.
Yes, and Dan Campbell has brought that program and that franchise back to life.
All right, there's the buzzer sounds. Next 2 minutes, let me clear the clock for you, resetting it, and go.
So this is a fun story. Staying in NFL, you know, the Cowboys fired their coach, Mike McCarthy, and there's been a lot of speculation about who they're gonna hire next. It's not a very sought-after job. And Troy Aikman himself, you know, who's an icon quarterback for the Cowboys, won Super Bowls there with them, he said himself it's not a much sought-after job because of how Jerry runs things. So there's been a lot of speculation who's going to want that job. There's been a name that's been floating around, and it's Deion Sanders.
Oh, stop it.
Deion Sanders maybe to the Cowboys. You know, his son Shador is going to the NFL, so he doesn't really have much of a reason to stay at Colorado. He apparently also had a heated conversation with the AD because the Colorado AD doesn't want to buck up with more NIL money, which he says they need. So, you know, and he played for the Cowboys for a little bit. Could this be a match made in heaven with Deion and the Cowboys? It would be fun. You know, it would be – Jerry likes a coach that is really – bland and easy to control. That's what Mike McCarthy was.
That's not Deion.
So, you know, we'll see if they bump heads at all. But I don't know. Deion, like I said, there's not much reason for him to stay at Colorado. He made his son, you know, one of the top recruits and top players to come out of the NFL or out of college football into the NFL draft. You know, maybe he wants to go on to the next challenge of the Cowboys in the NFL.
So you're saying it's not Bill Belichick?
No, Bill Belichick's at UNC right now.
Yeah, I know.
He's
can change.
He's locked in right now at UNC, and he also hired his son to be the DC at UNC. So we'll see if he just hands him the job in like 2 years. But no, I think that's been the biggest name I've heard so far is Deion being floated
around. Deion Sanders coaching the Cowboys. That's just like kind of crazy. All right, there's the buzzer. We reset the clock. 2 minutes, go.
So John from Huntsville was talking about this earlier this week, and I decided to take a look into it myself today and do some homework. The TGL, this indoor golf league.
Yeah.
From Tiger and Rory McIlroy that they made. So it's like a season format. You got six teams with four players on each team. And obviously Tiger is on one of them. You got another one with Justin Thomas and other guys. They've paired it up with the PGA. So it's indoors, like I said, at
SoFi
Stadium. Yes, with artificial turf. They have real bunkers and all that, though. So the format is the first round is triple. So you got a team of three. They play nine holes on this artificial turf. They have a course inside SoFi, I guess. And they play alternate shots. And then the next round, they go to one-on-one singles where they go to a big screen. Like, it's this massive screen. You know the game where, you know, you hit it on, like, a virtual screen?
Yeah.
So they do that. They go one-on-one on holes. So, like, they play a virtual hole on that screen, like a par three, and that's the second round of it. So they also have stuff like refs where they also have a shot clock. They also have timeouts to where you can ice the golfer. they're on the screen, and it's a big shot. You can call a timeout and ice
really?
The golfer. Yeah. But like I said, it's a season format.
Well, they have dancing bears and stuff too.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's a season format with teams from Atlanta. I think Dallas has one too, and it's they has a whole playoffs with a championship trophy at the end of it too. So I don't know. I haven't watched any of them. I've seen many clips. They have these fun walkouts too with like a fog machine. I saw a tiger come out to Eye of the Tiger, and so it's a fun little league. I don't know how long it'll
is there
last.
Money in it.
Well, it's Tiger and Rory, so you know I'm sure they're able to pump as much money into it as they want. But yeah, I think it's fun. I'll have to check out the next one when it comes up. But yeah, we'll see if it survives. It's also paired with the PGA, so they have their help.
And do they make a spectator sport out of it? I mean, like the crowds are
there?
Oh,
yeah. Big crowds go there. It's in SoFi. It's a football stadium. So.
Wow. There's a buzzer. We got time for another one? How are we doing on the clock?
About 45 seconds.
All right, take what you got. Go.
Well, I'll talk about one that kind of hurts because I got the notification during the show, actually, that A.J. Minter of the Braves, one of the longtime relievers for the Braves, will be coming to the Mets next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so not only leaving, but going to a rival for a $2 million contract. You know, the Braves have been very quiet this offseason, which is new for the Braves. You know, although they don't get a bunch of big names, they'll acquire a bunch of pieces, you know, that some, you know, under the radar pieces. They haven't done much. They've lost Charlie Morton. They've lost Max Fried. They've lost A.J. Minter now. And a lot of Braves fans are getting kind of antsy.
Have they lost their mojo?
I don't know. I don't think so. I trust Anthopoulos. I think he's the best GM in baseball. But a lot of Braves fans are getting antsy over here, and me being one of them.
Yeah.
So we'll see. There's still a lot of offseason left, so we'll see if the Braves get in.
All right. Going. That's good stuff, man. The music's playing. That's better than a buzzer. So we are calling it. There you go. That's a whole JP on sports. That flies by when we do that. You do a good job. All right, listen. We got plenty more stuff. We'll come right back. We're jumping into number two on the Triple Dipper. Fiery consequences. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.